Hello, and welcome to the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast, as taught by the Reverend Dr. Audrey Akins, where we share revelatory concepts and biblical principles that may often inspire, challenge, and stimulate you to see God's Word from a deeper and sometimes different perspective. Now for today's word, here's our instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
Good afternoon. We would like to offer you a point of power from one of the studies that I have done called God Sees and Says. And I'd like to bring it to you because, you know, sometimes we have a hard time making the sacrifices that God requires of us, especially when it's something we really care about and we really want to hold on to. And Abraham, we'll find, is an excellent example for understanding just how costly personal sacrifices God can and will require of us if we're denying ourselves to follow after the Lord's example that's set before us. To do that requires that we be believing and trusting in nature. We need to be mature in our attitude and unselfish in our character, for we must also be and remain willing to love him more than anyone else, which in and of itself can seem a cross to bear. Trying to love somebody less than we love God? What about my husband? What about my wife? What about my children? What, you know, what about your, you know, would God really want me to love him more? Yes. The Lord said, if you don't love me more than you love family, you're not worthy. So love can make us be blind sometimes emotionally, too blind to see what it is that God's trying to show us, or too deafened by the voices that are out there in the world. And there are many voices out there, and we have to be sensitive to the Spirit and move quickly, decisively, deliberately, if we're going to actively seize those opportunities of the great yet effectual doors that he will open and bring us to, for us to take an advantageous hold of the cross that he will show us that we need to take up and bear. So if we think anything remains hidden from God, we're deceived. And if he sees anything working within us that has the propensity to make us spiritually unworthy as his agents, his workmen, his sons of God in the earth, God will expose it to us. So that's why we want to consider Abraham. And that comes from a study of Genesis, the 12th chapter, going through the 22nd chapter, if you want to look up his backstory. But I'm just going to take for you Genesis 22 and 2, because it came at a time when Abraham had really been through so much in God, and he was now enjoying that life, living it more abundantly, enjoying what he had gotten from God. He was in that place where he felt like, you know, I'm here. I've got my child Isaac, you know. I rescued Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, even though Lot went off on his own way, but at least he did that. And so it's been about 12 to 14 years since Isaac was born. And suddenly, God says this, Genesis 22:2, Abraham, take now your only son Isaac, whom you truly love. Get to the land of Moriah, and there offer him for a burnt offering on a mountain I'll tell you of as you go. Wow. Now, God saw and called Abraham. I just want to do a little backstory for you. God saw and called Abraham to be his agent. He called him to be a father, to father a nation that he was going to set aside as his own people. He'd supernaturally given him that promised son Isaac by a barren wife, Sarah. And he permitted that even he divide his illegitimate son Ishmael away from him, so that he could lovingly dote on Isaac as more than life. Until. So for 12 years it had been all right for him to love on Isaac. And suddenly God says you got to give him up. Now, this until came in a suddenly season. Only God knew this thing was coming. His voice heard opened a great but effectual door that was going to require Abraham to press to enter in. It was a proving ground. He spoke it through Abraham. He spoke through it to Abraham as a sovereign God, because that's what he is. So when he speaks to us like this, he speaks with a full expectation that Abraham would hear if he loved him and willingly prove that he loved him more than anything else in his life or anything that he had given him. How am I supposed to prove that? Simply obey. Even in the incomprehensible things, even in the incomprehensible things. So, what happened? Well, Abraham accepted that he had unmistakably heard. He didn't need an explanation. He didn't ask for confirmation. Yet the inexplicable that he was instructed to do had to shake him to his very core. Despite knowing God, despite all the tests that he had been through over this 35-year period of him hearing God for the first time that he'd never seen and just obeying him by faith. He accepted without explanation, without confirmation. But what was it that he heard? Take your son, whom I gave you, and burn him up to prove you love me. Sounds crazy. It's a challenge to prove how much you trust God, because you didn't see a way for him to give you Isaac in the first place. So if he's asking for him, see, we got to learn to trust God even in the things that we don't see. Because walking by faith, you know, doesn't require sight. It requires trust. Job 23:12 says, this is what he learned. He said, I esteem God's word more than my necessary food. Psalm 130 and 6, David said, I wait for the Lord more than men watch for the morning. Matthew 10:37 declares, anyone loving family more than me isn't worthy of me, Jesus said. John 21:15, he asked Peter three times, do you love me more than? If you do, go be that offering I need you to be and feed my sheep. So what I'm saying to you is Abraham was an unusual case. It is proven down through the years. God will take you to that place where you have to make a decision. Did I really hear God? Do I really trust you, God? Consider him. What was Abraham's reaction knowing that he had heard God? The thought of God commanding he sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering had to sound and feel totally reprehensible, too unworthy for any doting father to entertain it as his truth. But he proves God sees if the loves we cleave to have propensity to become as Isaac's in our lives. God will see and say if he knows we're in danger of loving them or anything more than him. For he considers our failure to truly love him more than unacceptable. Such selfish, possessive loves can become those crosses that we need to bear, that we'll have to deny ourselves of, willingly take up, to divide from our heart before he will deem us worthy to follow him further to where he chooses for us to go. And sometimes he'll let you linger in that thing for a while. Sometimes it may be... Sometimes it may be years before he requires that thing. But you need to know that God sees, and when it's his time, he'll tell you what it is that you need to give up. Now, let's consider that if we'd be chosen as his agents, his workmen, his ministers, towards or after his own heart, he'll discern. And he will totally divide asunder any unworthiness that's trying to hide, rooting deep down in our hearts. That's the work of the word of God, because it has a two-edged sword. So when he speaks that word, even though you say, God, I don't have anything I love more than you, he will show it'll rise up in you. You'll see it come up before your spirit. So if that's the case, then we need to consider this revelatory point about God seeing the need for us to deny unworthiness he sees, using our hearts to try and abide. Our hearts must be cleansed. They must be divided. They must be cleaved clear through. But that's a hardness to endure. Yet it's required for us to man up and endure hardness as good soldiers, as expected of us, and truly deny ourselves, take up any cross, and follow him. That's not a light thing or a good feeling either. So though it's easy to assume Abraham wouldn't have agreed with God's assessment if he was asked, if his so loving Isaac, who God gave him, now made him feel unworthy, would he have offered him up? But the revelatory is, even if he initially thought so, Abraham, as God's agent, was God's agent long before being Isaac's daddy. So he rightly divided what he heard in God's voice. I can see Abraham spitting out the bitter bile of regret, because I know it rose up in his mouth. Instead, he decided to behave wisely. Choose immediately. I'm simply going to trust what God sees, so says, is right for me. You can't linger on it. You can't want to sit and meditate on whether this is God or not, because your flesh is immediately going to come in and take you into conflict. You got to just choose. I will trust you, God. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust that what I heard is you. And God, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If this is not you requiring this of me, shut the door before I can do something to hurt myself or that love. And then move into it. I see Abraham doing that. I see Abraham's faith hasten to help him to staunchly, steadfastly, unfalteringly strengthen his resolve to obey despite how reprehensible taking that cross as Isaac had to be for him. And guess what? Faith refused to fail Abraham. Even back in the day, instead, it helped him. It refused to leave his heart feeling overwhelmed. It refused to leave him feeling pierced and spiritually divided asunder. I see Abraham choosing to deny himself and take his cross of possessively selfish love for his Isaac, and instead worthily rise up to follow after being led by God's voice once again. I can see Abraham hearing God as we hear him today. For God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's as I heard Jesus still says to us today, anyone loving family more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37 tells us that. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what was Abraham's response that knowing he heard God? We need to learn from this man who's called the father of nations. He rose up early. Genesis 22:3-6 goes on with the story. It says Abraham rose up early. He saddled his ass. He took two of his servants with him and Isaac, his wood required for a burnt offering, and they journeyed together to the place God directed him to. There was no stop along the way. There was no fasting. There was no praying. He didn't hold a prayer service. He didn't hold any of those things. He just immediately got up and took everything he needed to obey God and went. And it took 3 days for him to journey. Yet during those 3 days, those who were with him asked no questions, and Abraham offered no explanations. He just walked by faith, placed one foot in front of the other, walking out that ordered step, because God said, I'm going to show you as you go. We need to learn that many times that's how God does with us in things that we don't understand. I'll show you as you go. Because as we put that one foot out there, he makes the next 2 steps for us. So the word says that when Abraham lifted up his eyes to see afar off that the mountain God said was there, he instructed those that were with him, stay with the ass, and I and Isaac are going to go yonder to worship, and afterwards we'll return to you. So Abraham continued his response to knowing he'd heard God by an orderly doing and declaring he'd return to rest in God with those he had left there. For he took the wood, this is what the word says, he took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac's shoulder, took the fire, took his sacrificial knife, and he and Isaac simply set off to journey up higher than, going on the rest of the way by faith, but together. Such is proper response in knowing we've heard. Move in the ordered step, knowing they lead us unto a returning to a rest in God as we behave wisely in quietness and confidence. And the word says, by this we are saved. So when we move and we will, in quietness and confidence comes our strength, and in returning and rest, we are saved. So if we never start out, we'll never know. We've got to trust God to get there. So the heart that will hear who we love more than tests the willingness to deny that love and faith. Genesis 22:7-8 says, well, as they climbed, Isaac asked the dreaded question that would tear the fabric of any heart. For he innocently asked, my father, I see you have the fire and I have the wood, but father, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? But Abraham spoke in quiet confidence of faith. See, faith doesn't always have the answers, but faith has confidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It provides the evidence of things not seen. For Abraham, later on, we find out he called those things that be not as though they were. So what did he say? He said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. That didn't come out of his mind. That didn't come out of his flesh. That came up out of his spirit. And the two went on the rest of the way together. His son was quieted by the fact that his father had confidence. And so as they went on, Isaiah, remember, we may not have the answers, but Isaiah 30:15 says God's word does. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest is how we are saved. And in quietness and confidence is where we get our strength. But the problem is, most of God's people will not. So what did Abraham do when he reached the place of sacrifice God ordered? Genesis 22:9-15 tells us, Abraham again didn't pray. He didn't vacillate. He didn't fast. He didn't negotiate with God about it as he did about the fate of those in Sodom and Gomorrah. But reaching the top, the word says he moved with obedience. That great faith generates for those acknowledging God as greater, regardless of what we see, feel, or hear to the contrary. Abraham quietly and methodically set about building his altar, laying all the wood in its required order. Then he took hold of Isaac, bound him, and lay him on the prepared altar again without explanation. This is a prime example of faith not failing no matter how sifting a situation can seem. Perhaps some would call Abraham's stoic calmness crazy, but God will keep us in perfect peace. Beloveds, we need to really get this. God will keep us in perfect peace as we move, keeping our heart and mind stayed on him rather than trying to figure out what God obviously has already worked out. So Abraham simply trusted and walked it out, held his bound beloved Isaac down, raised his arm and his knife, determined not to be unworthy and withhold anything from God, especially that which God saw and had already said was his, loving more than him. And as a direct result of willingly having done all, God moved. He said, "Hold it. Don't lay your hand on that child. There's a ram already waiting in the bush. By your having done this, you've proved that you withhold no good thing from me. And so I withhold no good thing from you." And Abraham looked and saw that there was a ram that had been there all the time, but he never saw it. We don't always see God's provision, but you need to know if God tells you to step out, it's already there. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind or the imagination of men, all those things that God has prepared for them that love him. But the only way to find it out is we've got to walk it out. And as a result of that, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? It says, "I know the Lord seen, so provides." It signifies God takes infinite care that absolutely everything he deems as necessary to keep us stayed in comfort, support, and protect all who will trust him is provided. The revelatory is Abraham displayed a heart made perfect towards God, yet it was still tried. Remember, God also knows those hearts that are perfect towards him. So worthy are given resilience. We can snap back. We can recover quickly. And we can remain courageously vigilant, sober, thus even if we're made to feel overwhelmed, it's still we're readily able to choose. So trust in the Lord. Although hearts perfect towards God can still be shaken, and we can still be perplexed when we're cast down, yet and still, when we find we're not destroyed, just as Abraham learned when he didn't have to give up his Isaac, that peace we gain in having been through that experience helps us keep our hearts and minds stayed, resiliently responsive, and deliberately obedient. Finally, as we prepare to Selah, remember, God sees and also provides for the worthy hearts. No matter the sacrifice that he may require of you, he specifically poured out on men a provision for Abraham's seed to continue. So even if he had taken Isaac, God had already prepared in being Jehovah Jireh, not just the ram. But when Abraham got back with Isaac and went back home to Beersheba to dwell, he started getting reports in that all his brothers and their wives and their concubines, everybody was pregnant. Suddenly, his seed was multiplying. And that had started even before he had left to go and sacrifice. You see, we can't beat God-given. Just because I can't figure out what he's doing or where he's going or how I'm going to pay for this thing or what am I going to do if I let it go, you got to trust God. Let's see law on this. In that opportunity to be viably fruitful, which God caused to flow to Abraham's brother Nahor and his sons that would form all the nations, all became impregnated, God's truth was seen. In the afterwards of his return, he found that his brother Nahor had fathered 12 more children, and all his grown nephews had fathered children as well. Now, this is not the end of the story, because God sees the hearts of his worthy ones, thus provides. So he'd already seen Isaac's young heart as perfect towards him, and he knew in his time he'd prove to be worthy again. So in providing for what he'd seen, as only a sovereign God can, one of the daughters that Nahor fathered was named Rebekah. This Rebekah was destined to become Isaac's wife. But she'd only be provided in a kairos of afterwards. They didn't know this, but God sees the bigger picture. We have no idea why God asks us to give up certain things. But we got to trust that whatever it is, we can't beat God giving. Because when Isaac would get with Rebekah, she too would be barren at first. But he'd pray, and God would open up her womb, and she would have the twins, Isaac and Jacob. And we know how the story goes from there. Esau and Jacob. Remember, having a heart perfect towards God is best revealed by truly living out loud the choices we make based on knowing and choosing to simply look up, trusting God as Abraham did. Be blessed.
Well, this concludes today's edition of the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power. But don't despair, just Selah for a moment, for there's yet more to come. In the meantime, if you would like additional information or to contact us, log on to the website at www.DrAudreyAikensMinistries.com. Until next time, we pray that in all you're getting, you get an understanding, so that you too can be empowered and transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you and be blessed. This segment is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.